Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. You're listening to the Product Marketing Insider podcast brought to you by Product Marketing Alliance. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back. This is episode 6 of the Product Marketing Insider series. In this episode, we go behind the scenes with Elizabeth Brigham, Head of Product Marketing at Morningstar in the software division. Liz was recently named Leader in Product Marketing 2019 by the Product Marketing Alliance at the recent Product Marketing Awards in San Francisco. That's it from me today. I'm going to leave you with Bryony Pierce, the editor at PMA, talking to Elizabeth Brigham, the Leader in Product Marketing 2019.
So if you could just start off by telling everyone a little bit about yourself, sort of name, who you work for, where you're located, and that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Elizabeth Brigham. I'm the head of product marketing for the software division of Morningstar Inc., which is headquartered in Chicago. So I am based in Chicago, but we do have 27 global offices as well.
Awesome. And then what is it that made you want to become a product marketing manager in the first place?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a great question. So I got into product marketing in 2012. Mm-hmm. So almost been in the realm for 8 years. So I was in product management prior to that. And so a lot of the similar, are just called product management instead of product marketing. Mm-hmm. Going back 10, 11 years or so, I fundamentally love being able to deeply understand the people whom we're serving, mm-hmm. whether it's with a solution or with a service or specific product. I always mm-hmm. tell my team that empathy is currency. And so being able to incorporate and infuse the sort of humanity and human aspects into everything that we do and lead with those deep understandings of what challenges people are trying to solve and then putting together a solution for those problems. I'm big into puzzles and solving problems as well in general. And so yeah. I think the combination of those two things is really what drove me to product marketing as a function.
And then can you just sort of talk us through your career path before you started at Morningstar?
Sure. So after undergrad, I went into a management development program for a company called McMaster, or at the time, 115-year-old industrial supply chain company. They effectively had a well-oiled machine insofar as taking liberal arts majors, putting them through sort of business boot camp, as it were, and then getting people ready to go do an MBA. So after that, I did my MBA at the University of Michigan from 07 to 09 at the Ross School of Business. And there was the first time I really got to see the sort of intersection of technology and marketing and psychology all come together. Apple actually came to campus before the release of the App Store. Mm-hmm. And put forth a case study, or case competition rather, for us to participate in. And so a group of students and I put together a prototype and business case for an app that effectively would have been sort of a travel book in your pocket. All of us studied abroad and saw some opportunity there. So we ended up winning the case competition, and that was really my first kind of foray into technology and what that would bring. While at Michigan, in between my first and second years, I worked for Disney.com as well. So that was another opportunity for me to see how storytelling and sort of Disney-level storytelling comes to life in a digital environment and then, you know, business models around that. At the time, they were primarily an ad sales-driven business for Disney.com. So then I moved over to Disney Parks when I went back full-time. I managed a number of websites for Disney Parks, like DisneyParks.com, the Disney Parks Moms Panel, and some other things, as well as spent about 7 months at Disneyland Paris. So I was part of the Magic Band team and that overall project. So it was just about $1 billion investment in the digital transformation of the guest experience, both online as well as in the park. So it was a phenomenal time to be at Disney Parks and see that transformation and to be part of that core team. from there, I moved up to Portland, Oregon. As you know, people don't always talk about, but when you're married and you have, you know, two people in the household working full time, you need to have that balance. So my husband finished his MBA. We moved up to Portland for his job. I went to work for a company called Jive Software, and that's where I really got into high tech product marketing and made that transition. So we had a communication and collaboration suite of tools, kind of social intranets, as well as customer communities. And I led product marketing primarily for those customer communities across every single industry vertical. Mm-hmm. You know, spent 80% of my time on the road pitching alongside our account executives, did a lot of sales enablement and training, kind of wore a lot of hats as that company was public, but a little bit smaller at the time. And then after that, we moved back to Chicago, and I went to work for a company, a startup called Timshell, wherein we built all of the back-end technology, kind of the marketing automation APIs for Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign.
Oh, wow.
And so it was, yeah, in the depths and in the throes of all the things that went on with the 2016 election, many of which are sort of continuing to put in the national register, as it were, right now. But that was, you know, I was leading all of marketing there. We were about a 40-person team, and my role was effectively to take what we had built for the campaign, which is what I said, you know, marketing automation APIs, we sort of built this microservices infrastructure, and take that to 1.2 million nonprofits in the U.S., sort of build up, you know, how are we going to market? We know we have something that's tested at the highest levels of, you know, speed and performance and pressure testing, as it were. How do we make something viable for this market of people that are doing fantastic, you know, social impact work every single day?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that startup ran out of funding in December 2016. So then I started doing a little bit of consulting, really looking around Chicago, better understanding what was going on in the tech scene there. And I found out that product marketing was really fairly nascent as a discipline. I had a number of consulting kind of gigs and different clients that I was able to kind of build up a little bit more about what product marketing is and does and the value that we bring. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to Morningstar about 2.5 years ago, where I have been fortunate to build out the product marketing discipline for software nearly from scratch. And over that 2.5 years, we've tripled the size of the team, more than tripled the size of our scope and what we're responsible for, and have been a great sort of internal voice and advocates for what product marketing is and does and the value that we brought to the company.
Awesome. Sounds about like you've had a lot of exciting projects and a lot of trouble in your time, which is
great. Yeah. Lots of, you know, no career is a straight line, right? But
no.
always in that sort of entrepreneurial type of vein, I'm very drawn toward, like I was saying, you know, solving problems, building mm-hmm. things from scratch, whether it's new products and processes or building up teams with great people.
Awesome. And then, if there is such a thing, what does a standard day in your role look like?
That's interesting. Unfortunately, it's lots of meetings. So maybe unfortunately, lots or fortunately, however you decide to slice it. I mean, we have a product portfolio that is nearly 10, you know, discrete products, depending on how you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm involved in kind of strategic discussions at across the company, across multiple business units, but then at all layers of the company as well. So I tend to have 10 to 14, you know, 30-minute meetings back-to-back-to-back almost nearly every single day. It's intense, you know, I want to be honest with everybody, right? Like, it's a lot of context switching. I have to make sure that I'm on top of my game with respect to understanding data, you know, what do we have, all the programs that are in flight, what are a variety of different product roadmaps that are coming to the fore, how are we supporting that. Then I could have a mix of meetings around just, you know, team structure. Typically, in order to just organize my week, I do like to have all of my one-on-ones with my team on Mondays, mm-hmm. or any sort of, you know, career development type conversations, so that we can kind of hit the ground running at the beginning of the week. And I have a little bit more of an overview of, hey, where are some of the roadblocks? What do I need to prioritize my time for the rest of the week to hit those? And then I attempt to block my calendar on Friday. It doesn't always work to have more, you know, sort of thinking time, office hours type time, you know, on the spot conversations with people.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's a lot of meetings.
And how many people are in your team?
Yeah, so we are 8 now. I do actually have an open role on my team, so quick plug for that, a senior product marketing manager role to kind of round out the team. But yeah, I've got a team of all women, which mm-hmm. is fantastic for the first time in my career, and that's quite rare, I think, in tech in general. So I'm very, very proud of what we've been able to build as a team.
Awesome. And then in terms of teams outside of product marketing, like sales, products, operations, marketing, that kind of thing, which departments would you say you interact with most, and what's your setup with them like?
Yeah, it's a great question. I frequently evangelize the quad. And what I mean by that is product marketing, product management, sales, and service. And then at marketing, I sort of loop in together as well with product marketing, because we do, product marketing does sit within the marketing organization. So maybe it's five people instead of, or five group instead of the quad instead of four. But yeah, so I see, you know, a lot of our work, and I think we're slightly unique insofar as my team does do all the demand gen work as well. So that's why I say we're kind of one and the same, right? Product marketing and marketing, we sort of bleed those lines together.
Mm-hmm.
We work very closely with our partners on the website team, our digital team, to build out, you know, any sort of new product websites for a product launch that we may be taking to market. Mm-hmm. we have dedicated editorial staff as well as visual designers, who are helping us on everything as, you know, seemingly small as a social card, you know, on Twitter, to completely overhauling websites, to creating, you know, massive booths for live events and other things like that. So kind of that kind of runs the gamut. We have a small but growing and mighty sales enablement team. They sit under sales. They don't sit under me, but we interact with them nearly every single day.
Yeah.
So whether it's on ongoing training, a product launch, right now we're talking about sales kickoff, you know, for January and getting ready for that. And then I do find it incredibly important that, and this sounds cliche at this point now, but the product marketing and sales and product and that sort of triumvirate, that we're all kind of connected at the hip.
Yeah.
So the way that I've organized my team mirrors the sort of organizational structure of product management as well as sales, mm-hmm. so that we can have that one-to-one relationship. So as I was saying, you know, throughout any given day, I'm in multiple meetings with sales leadership, or some of the, you know, team leads, talking about what's working, what are you hearing from a competitive perspective, is our messaging resonating? Sometimes it's a little bit more in the weeds on lead gen and how are things coming forward and what do our conversion rates look like, you know, from sales accepted lead into opportunity, kind of runs the gamut. With our product partners, it tends to be much more, you know, roadmap focused, pricing and packaging type conversations,
mm-hmm.
all of those pieces. So hopefully that answers your question, but it is, there's a connection of satellites and different orbits, right, that we have with a variety of these different groups. So
awesome. And then in an absolute dream world, is there anything about those relationships you think could be better?
Oh, the trick question. you know, it's interesting. I would say that I would love for my team to be much more client facing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been working with our sales counterparts and our product teams. We don't really have a fully built out sales engineering staff that you might see at other tech companies or that I had seen, you know, in the past. We're kind of looking at potentially growing that. Mm-hmm. A lot of our product management team is on calls, you know, all the time and supporting the sales teams that way. And so my team, hasn't had as many of those experiences. We've certainly made really good forays into that.
Yeah.
But just haven't kind of solidified it. So I'd say that's in my next vision, because as I was talking about at the top of the call, you know, I really believe empathy is currency. So the extent to which my team can be, you know, in lockstep with our clients, hearing what questions they're asking, hearing what concerns or objections that they have, that's going to be very important.
Perfect. And then what would you say the top three skills are that have helped you get you where you are today?
That's tough. One I would say is relationship building,
mm-hmm.
hands down. That's the first thing I do when I go into any new company is I try to meet as many people as possible. I try to prioritize my time, obviously, with those with whom that I would be working most closely, but understanding them at a very deep level, because without that trust, mm-hmm. initially going in, you're not going to be able to move quickly. You're not going to be able to, you know, get things done. So hands down, it's that, working on my relationship building skills. Secondly, and I'm sitting amidst the very tall oak trees here at my alma mater, so I'm getting a little nostalgic, which is Davidson College. So I'm, you know, liberal arts background, and I think the ability to look across a seemingly disparate set of things,
mm-hmm.
whether that's data, whether it's groups of people, whether it's products, see connections that others might not have seen previously, and then building something and being able to articulate, you know, what that solution could potentially be and sort of generate some of those new ideas. That's been another big piece that, again, I ascribe back to my liberal arts background, where you had to take classes across every single discipline. You had to see things that otherwise, you know, you wouldn't equate biology with a music class, but there are connections there.
Yeah.
So that was important. And I think the third thing too is, this sounds pretty basic, I guess, but showing up and caring about my team, about what we're trying to accomplish, being present there, listening to people,
mm-hmm.
but really, you know, holding myself accountable for delivering.
Yeah.
And also speaking up and saying when I don't know the answer to something, but I'm going to go find it out. Right.
Yeah.
So showing up, there's a lot, I think, packed into that. But
yeah,
those would be the three things.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you. And then at Morningstar, would you say there's a lot of crossover between what you do and what a product manager does?
There is, to a certain extent. So we have two different kind of flavors or focus areas for product management. One is more what we call commercial product owners, and then there's more technical product managers. And I would say with the former, that's where we have a lot more sort of natural overlap's the wrong word, but sort of just natural collaboration.
Yeah.
Mostly because they are looking at, again, kind of a 1 to 3 year time horizon. Where's the business going? They understand the competitive set. They have had a lot of experiences, as I just mentioned previously, with our clients. But at the end of the day, their ultimate deliverable is, you know, working with those more technical product managers to drive the roadmap.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, our deliverables manifest in more sales enablement type of material, you know, your pitch decks, your playbooks, your sales FAQs, actually giving that training.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as I mentioned before, you know, our team has all the demand gen aspects of it right now too. So there's definitely overlap and collaboration, but I wouldn't say we're not duplicating efforts, so to speak, yeah. Right?
I would say it's quite important for those lines to be quite defined to an extent.
I do. It's interesting. I mean, I think there's probably opportunity in some organizations to, you know, collapse some of those groups, or, you know, I think it depends on the complexity of the product that you're building, insofar as how many how many need. So that, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to, it's kind of a tough question to answer, you know, but to a certain extent, product marketing, product management. I mean, maybe if we blew up the names of everything, right, and just said, like, you understand the market and the buyers and the competitive set, and, you know, over here, you figure out what to go build. I mean, effectively, that's what it is. I don't know. I'm sure people have put forth better names, but I feel like some people unnecessarily get tripped up by that distinction, you know, and at the end of the day, hey, it's a skill set that is definitely needed.
Yeah.
So, regardless of what we call it, you have to have it to be successful, at least in a tech organization, in my perspective.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then what does the process of introducing and influencing new products or features look like for you?
Yeah, on my team, you know, because I would say over the last 2.5 years, we've gotten a lot more closely tied with the product management group. We have participated in a lot more market research with them, you know, kind of side by side before anything gets built.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the ability to, you know, influence, okay, what questions are we even asking during that research? And so I think we're evolving that, but certainly we have had an earlier seat at the table, so to speak, in the last, you know, 18 months, kind of on the backs of, you know, proving the value that we bring to the organization. It just so happened when I came into the organization, we were kind of at the end of a very large development cycle. And so I had products that were kind of ready to go and immediately needed to be launched. So the extent to which we've had other products in development, we've had an earlier seat in a lot of those discussions. I think moving forward, where we've had more influence has been in packaging and pricing.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, the sort of roadmap. So saying, hey, I know we went to market with this particular thing. It resonated in some segments, but not all. So why don't we think about, you know, moving to the sort of good, better, best model, or, you know, having some other versions that would be available and more appropriate for a particular market segment based on the research that we've done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that level of influence is quite similar to other companies you've worked at before, Morningstar? Or?
I would say so. I mean, the one exception really for me was when I worked at Jive. So we had many more, I would say, technical product managers and product marketing sort of function as that commercial product owner role that I mentioned before. So. Yeah. I had a bit more influence over what we were planning to build in some respects. I worked on a project to build a suite of mobile apps from scratch and in effect kind of worked as more of that commercial product owner doing all of the upfront research, really building out the specs based on what we had heard and a lot of that qualitative and quantitative research, and then worked with much more technically oriented, you know, product managers to figure that out and then build out, you know, the full go-to-market strategy. It was more of a, I would say, tiger team, Skunkworks, you know, type of group. So maybe that's a bit of an anomaly, looking at the broader picture. But yeah, I think it's fairly fluid and really dependent on the culture of the company.
Yeah, for sure. And then what, if anything, do you think needs to change about product marketing?
You know, I would say again, the hang up of what we call ourselves versus just getting on with it and getting the work done, you know, because there is a lot of value that we bring to the table. What I have seen now working in companies that are startups all the way up to, you know, some of the largest brands in the world with Disney, And especially kind of in the startup space, many companies feel that market research will take them too long.
Yeah.
You know, they see that I'm like, oh my God, we're going to go spin our wheels for 6 months and we're not going to get an MVP out the door. And I fundamentally disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think you can do quick and dirty market research and talk to 15 of your friends and get to a point of diminishing returns, like in the period of less than 2 weeks, right? Cause I've done it, where you have some really good insights to help you drive that. And so the more that we can evangelize that research is not something that needs to take forever, we very much have a scientific approach to how we look at the market and do the things that we do, and that we can be just as fast and nimble as some of other departments. I think it's just more on the education front that we need to help people, you know, again, get out of the, forget what we're called, but let's just educate you on the importance of some of the core skill sets that we have and ultimately the value it can bring to the business. You know, I had a few years ago had done some research and wrote about this a bit, and I think people have seen this before, but something like, you know, 80 to 90% of startups fail. And one of the top reasons that they do is product market fit. Like fundamentally, that is something that product marketers come in and help with, right? Mm-hmm. Assessing the market. What are the problems that we're trying to solve? For whom? What's compelling? What's their willingness to pay for a solution for this? How acute is their problem set, et cetera?
If there were any new or aspiring product marketers listening right now, what would your advice to them be?
You know, typically, maybe I'm a little bit biased in this. I think there's kind of two paths. One is that a lot of the core skill sets of a product marketer, you can get through an MBA program. So that's kind of one route, depending on where they are in their careers. But today, honestly, there's so many classes online that you don't necessarily need to take, you know, 2 years out of your career to go get an MBA. You can get a lot of those classes online. But ultimately, you know, again, honing the skills around research, understanding the market, being able to use data to drive a point home and to build a business case. I think those are all important skill type skill set. So if there's a way that we could build almost like parallel training paths within organizations to give those individuals who, hey, might be more client facing, but give them more skills on, in the sort of strategy realm or how to think about entering a new market or how to think about launching a new product, that might be a good next step.
That's really good advice. Thank you. So can you just kind of talk us through what winning the Product Marketing Leader of the Year award meant to you?
Yeah, it was an incredible honor. One, it's been so great to be part of this crew kind of from the beginning, from that first invitation to the Slack channel and, you know, getting the World Series and the summits together and all of that. I was incredibly humbled to read the nomination that my team gave, that cut across not just my immediate team, but also our partners in sales and others in marketing and product. That was really incredible. So I feel like I've tried to do my best to be a steward and an advocate for the discipline for many, many years. So I very much appreciate the award.
Thank you. Awesome. And then what were your thoughts on the summit as a whole in San Francisco?
Yeah. So one, it just felt like for the first time I was in a room with all of my kin, so to speak, right? Where I, you know, I've been doing product marketing formally for about 8 years now at this point. I feel like I've been doing it for much longer, but it just didn't have that sort of title. And so the, consistency in the questions that people were asking, the content that was being put forth, insofar as those are all the same questions we're asking each other every single day. And so it really did feel like a meeting of the minds of, hey, these are really great business problems and business questions to be addressing. And then that there was a support group necessarily, you know, for that too of, hey, we don't always have it all right, but there are definitely other people out there from whom we can learn and innovate together. So I thought it was fantastic to have that group together.
I guess sometimes in a way it's just nice to know someone has the same pain as you, isn't it?
Yes.
I find it comforting just to know you're not the only one struggling with something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The support group, ability to vent, but then also to, you know, come up with new things to do together was great.
Awesome. And then what would you say your greatest achievement at Morningstar has been to date?
Wow. That's a big question. I mean, I always kind of point to coming into something where we had product marketing in name, but not necessarily in discipline. So being able to have the trust of senior leadership to be able to create something from scratch, mm-hmm. and to really employ the sort of test, learn, innovative model, and very much almost like a startup type of environment in a 6,000 employee company has been really gratifying. So just being able to lay the foundation, and then also not just from a process or, you know, building out this incredible team perspective, but also to see the real business results come through, where we have continued to drive, you know, over 200% return on investment of anything that we're doing in marketing, where we have been able to help influence and bring the voice of our clients into the product development process, where we've been able to create a new kind of go-to-market or launch type of plan, not only for the U.S., but also globally, and sort of expand that out. So it's been great to have a seat at the table, I think, but then also to more deeply understand our clients and be able to drive real business value as well.
And in terms of laying the foundation, was that kind of new to you, or have you had to do that in previous companies, or have you, like in the past, have you walked in somewhere that already has this product marketing function established?
Yeah. Kind of a mixed bag of both. So my career has been this kind of series of entrepreneurship, almost like military missions, so to speak, of, you know, setting up new processes, new teams, launching or in building products from scratch. And so I think a lot of what I did here, I had honed those skills in the startup I was at before. When I was at Jive, there was already a product marketing function there, but being able to kind of learn, you know, going back 8 years ago, kind of cut my teeth there. But even when I was at Disney prior to Jive, you know, I was in product management, quote unquote, but a lot of the same types of skill sets and responsibilities, and being able to build a business from scratch there inside a $12 billion business of Disney Parks at the time. You know, a lot of this type of, again, entrepreneurship skill sets I've been honing over the past, you know, 10, even 15 years. So I'd say it's been a natural progression, but definitely an opportunity to lead, you know, one of the largest teams I've ever led and kind of build that out from scratch. So
awesome. And then yeah. Do you think you could attribute your current kind of success in the product marketing industry down to an individual or series of people or events, or would you say it's more of a culmination of a whole load of things?
Oh man, I'm so grateful across my entire life for having access to really good educators and teachers. Mm-hmm. Even going back to college and undergrad, I always tell people, especially in the sort of post-recession environment, people are questioning liberal arts degrees. And you know, when I was at Davidson, I had one professor who was kind of like my second dad, and another retired dean of students who was kind of like my grandfather, you know, wise owl who was guiding me. And then I had the opportunity to also build something from scratch there insofar as producing concerts and building a completely new kind of concert committee. And so having their support and driving me through, I think, gave me the confidence to try new things, to leverage, I was an English major, so, you know, reading all of this fiction and all this literature effectively helps you understand characters, what their motivations are. If you put a certain character in a situation, how are they going to react? And so that kind of foundation from a liberal arts perspective, I think sometimes people don't talk about it as much anymore, but the ability to kind of synthesize lots of data, put together a cogent argument, being able to articulate yourself clearly and understand many different types of people and personalities at that level, I would say is the fundamental kind of core of what's helped me through my career. And then along the way, having some really good mentors at every single company that I've worked for to kind of push that through in a particular business construct.
Awesome. And then final question to do with the awards. Do you have any words of wisdom for any kind of aspiring people wanting to win this award next year?
Oh my. Well, I always like to say, you know, if you're a leader, you know, I feel like leadership falls somewhere on the spectrum between complacency and chaos. And I always think, again, going back to my English major, I've been reading recently some T.S. Eliot poetry, and one of the poems, Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, talks about, there's this line that says, do I dare disturb the universe? And in a minute, there's time for decisions and revisions, and a minute will reverse. And I think those two pieces really sort of encapsulate leadership. And so thinking about, how are you taking care of your team? How are you making sure that they show up in rooms when they're not physically present and their ideas are being recognized and the work that we're doing, but also that you can prove with data that you're really bringing a lot of business value to whatever organization or community or client group or whatever you're kind of focused on. I think that combination of the sort of humanity and the data and those two things coming together to tell a really good story is something important that I think will help drive product marketing forward. We have to show the business value that we're bringing. It can't just be the sort of gut feel, oh, we were part of, you know, such and such sales deal. And like, no, it's kind of the show don't tell. Mm-hmm. So I'd say for any aspiring, you know, person who wants to win this award is do right by your team, make data a core part of who you are and what you do. And, you know, move confidently in the direction of your dreams, I guess, right? You're like really pushing for innovation and driving new business.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll just move on to a couple of questions. So you've also recently been shortlisted as a top 50 influencer by PMA.
Thank you.
So just a couple of questions to go alongside our report for that. Mm-hmm. What would you say your favorite aspect of being a product marketing manager is?
You know, I think that there are a couple things. One, I have an amazing team, mm-hmm. and every day my job is to coach and to help them be their best. And so I love that. I think the second piece is that because product marketing, even though in the name it says product, what we really do is understand our clients and understand the people out in the market who could be potential users of our product. And so we have a much higher level kind of lens, especially in organizations like Morningstar, where we have multiple products, multiple buyers, multiple markets, and every single global region around the world in which we're operating. We have a purview that cuts across the core of a business strategy. And so I think that is something that is differentiated, let's say, from being in product management, where maybe you're just kind of thinking about one particular product or maybe even a suite of products, but you're so focused on roadmap, whereas we have a much broader, I would say, like strategic perspective in a lot of ways, insofar as what should we be building, how should we be positioning it, how are we competitively positioned, how do we package, how do we price, and how do we ultimately go to market?
Okay, awesome. And then second question, if a C-suite exec was listening to this right now and they didn't see the need for a product marketing manager in their company, what would your advice to them be?
That's a fantastic question. I would say, well, depending on the size of the company, but one thing that really stands out to me and that I've written about before is, you know, there's quotations out there anywhere between 80 and 90% of new businesses fail. Now, whether that's a startup or whether that's a, you know, new product line or new business you're choosing to launch within an existing company. And some of those reports, when they go back and they ask CEO or others within the C-suite, well, why do you think you failed? The number one answer that comes back is product market fit. And the way that I kind of break that down is saying, well, you've got a product, and a lot of people might think, like, this is the cool new shiny thing. And a lot of times what I've seen, especially in smaller, more nascent companies, is you know, the founder or the person who built it had that problem and then tries to go find a market. Whereas product marketing actually assesses the market, mm-hmm. assesses, you know, what sort of core competencies does that organization already have, and then pulls that empathy and that understanding of the market into what should we go build? Because we fundamentally understand there's an acute pain point going on here for which people are willing to pay mm-hmm. for a solution. And that is truly the value that a product marketing manager brings to the table. In effect, it's taking down the risk or lowering the risk of investing a lot of money, whether it's in people or product development or acquiring something new. You're sort of de-risking that investment. And so I think that would be a fairly compelling argument to any C-suite executive, especially at smaller companies, but even in larger, more established companies who are thinking about how to allocate their assets maybe for the coming year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time answering there.
Sure.
Awesome.
Hey everybody, if you're still there, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the pod, please do share it with your product marketing people. We're just starting out on our podcast journey, so we're really happy to hear any feedback that you have. If that sounded also like you'd like some time on air, just let us know and we'll put something in the diary. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon or evening, wherever you are. Bye.